During November, our parish for years has remembered and prayed for and been grateful for all the people who have been part of our parish who have died. We not only carry in the candles like we did on All Saints Day this year, but in both corners of the church, for those of you who are new, you'll see trees that are already lit, and on each of those trees is the name of every person who has died since the parish began. Those who have kind of a crocheted star are the ones who've died this past year. And then in the gathering area, there's that board that lists all the people who've died, and it says, in gratitude for all that they have been and done with us. So this month is a month when all of us, not in a morbid way, but in a grateful way and in a thankful way, really respect and honor all those who have listened to the word of God right here with us and have received the Eucharist right here with us. I'm going to make us work tonight, so bear with me, because I want to break open the readings, because the readings are so important for us to answer that question that is one of the most important questions for every one of us. What happens to people when they die? All of us ask that question. And sometimes we give somewhere between simple and humorous answers. Grandpa's up in heaven playing pinochle with his friends. Or my uncle is on that beautiful golf course in heaven. Well, those are interesting comments. But that's not heaven. That's our projections of things. Let's look at what the Word of God talks about tonight, and what is our hope, and what is our comfort. Let's start with that first reading from the book of Maccabees. The book of Maccabees, along with the book of Wisdom and some of those other later books, were written just a couple hundred years before Jesus was born. So they were 200 or 300 years old. Well, the notion in Judaism that we would live after death was something that gradually developed in people's faith and hope throughout all those 2,000 or 3,000 years since Abraham. But when that happened, it was such a strong conviction. So for instance, when we read at funerals different times from the Book of Wisdom, the souls of the just are in the hand of God. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be destroyed, and they're going from us utter destruction, but they are at peace. Then tonight's reading is that wonderful story in the book of Maccabees, and I'd recommend that you read it in its entirety about those. There was an older man who died, then there were these seven sons of this mother, and all who were arrested and died with this great conviction about life forever. But then if we go to the gospel, it says some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus. The Sadducees were not bad people. The Sadducees were traditionalists. And the Sadducees, as people of tradition, only wanted to listen to the first five books of Moses. So Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, those books, those early books of the scripture, they say, that's all we want to listen to. We don't want any development of more doctrine or more faith and things to hope in. And like I said, they weren't bad people. They were saying, the reason we can't believe in the resurrection is Moses, whom we honor, gave this Levirate law that said, you have to, if a brother marries someone and they don't have children and he dies, that his brother has to marry that widow and raise up children for his brother. Well, they make it kind of a ridiculous thing of seven brothers all marrying this lady and they all die without any kids. All I can say is she must have been a terrible cook. She wiped out seven brothers. But Jesus says to them, wait. Jesus says, I'm going to take you where you are. I want to go back with you to Moses. Why did Moses give you that Levirate law about marrying your brother's wife and raising up kids for your brother? It's because back in the days of Moses, the real important thing was keep the clan alive, keep the clan going. You have to have people having kids because people died, and people died early in life, and you had to keep the clan going. So Jesus says, what Moses was talking about was not marriage like we know it, of the love of husband and wife. He's saying it was all about procreating to make sure there were enough kids to keep the clan going. So Jesus says, you know, what I want you to know is, he says, Sadducees, you're making a mistake. You think that the afterlife is the same as our life here. It's just we move to a new room. And once we make the passage through death, we go in this other room, but we have the same kind of life we had here. And he says, no, that's not true. He said, you know, in the next life, we don't have to keep the clan going because no one dies. It's eternal life. So a lot of times people will say to me, and there was one woman in our parish, this passage really upset her. She said, you know, are you saying, is Jesus saying, I'm not going to be married to my husband in the next life, that I won't really want to know him as my husband? She said, you know, what kind of heaven is that? She didn't like that at all. And then there are the opposite sometimes. Some man will say to me, if my wife's going to be there and I got to be married to her forever, I don't want to go. But all of that is our child's faith. All of that is our projecting what we live now into the next life. Whether it's grandpa playing pinochle, whether it's an uncle playing golf, whether it's what the Sadducees saw. And he says, no. He says, what I want you to know is this. Every relationship that you have will be deepened. If you are married and happily married, you will still have that relationship, but it'll be deepened beyond anything you know. Our church teaches this in a different way. In our funeral rites, in the liturgies for Christian burial, there's a beautiful prayer, and I focus on it often. It says, we not only believe in life forever, but we believe that all the ties of family and friendship that knit us to one another in this life do not unravel at the time of our death. What a beautiful statement. So it isn't a question of who was married to her seven times. Whatever love couples have, whether they were married once or their spouse dies and they're married again, whatever love they had is deepened to the point of full joy for everyone. All these ties of family and friendship stay close. But we don't know much more than that, because we do know that the people who've gone before us care about us. They are still themselves, and they still care about us. Because just 3 or 4 days ago, on the Feast of All Saints, we prayed, as we pray for them and bring them back to you, our God, we know that they pray for us and are anxious about our salvation. The people who've gone before us still think of us. They may not know all we go through, or it might make them unhappy, but they still care about us. They still love us. They still help us. They still pray for us at the throne of God as we pray for them. Paul summarized it best when he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So some of our simple thoughts about death are comforting, but they're kind of a child's faith. But our adult faith is to say we hope and trust in God, that he loves us so much. We will not stop being who we are. We will still have the relationships that we have always had here. They'll just be deepened, and our love for each other will be even stronger, and our joy much more complete.